This show furnished by Sid Levine.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid Levine, and this is the Sid Levine Show. All right. A windy, wild, and crazy Sunday in beautiful Los Angeles. We're going to have a fantastic show for you tonight. We have two of America's finest, the United States Marines. We have, first of all, Tony James III, Staff Sergeant. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
All right. How you doing?
Really good. Really good.
Okay. And then we have Sergeant Chris Sampson.
How you doing?
All right. Again, two of America's finest. Excellent Marines. Okay. And then we have an amazing actor, a good friend, a guy that never lets you down. We have the amazing Dennis Cockrum is here.
Hey, Sid, how are you doing? You know, right. I outrank both of them, but only on television.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right. You're going to be back on SEAL Team as a general?
As a general.
As a general. Jeez, that's pretty big.
There you go.
And then we have the unbelievable, luscious, lovely, lickable.
Oh, really?
Careful now.
Catherine, this is true.
Delicious Liz Fuller.
Thank you, Sid. I'm back for another week.
Yes, Liz.
How was your birthday? Tell us all.
Oh, my birthday, yes. My 60th birthday was Friday the 26th, and it was wonderful.
Good.
It was fantastic. We celebrated a little bit, and then we went to the grill on the alley.
Okay.
In Beverly Hills, and I had a nice dinner with Patricia, and we had a great time, and it just so happened, out of coincidence, we were sitting next to Ryan Murphy and his husband, and but we had a great time.
It was
a lot of fun, and we're going to have a couple of guys on the show from the grill in the alley talking about Beverly Hills and dining and all the stars that go in there all the time. So we're going to have a great time. I had a great time. 60th birthday, it kind of messed with my head a little bit.
Yeah,
because 60 is 60. And that did,
well,
I said, geez, what's happened to me? You know, first of all, I never thought I'd make it to 60.
Well, I got to say, Sid, when I did do your birthday cake, I did text Marissa and I said, I don't think we can put the number on this, can we?
No, don't.
We didn't put the number on your cake. We just put like flowers and roses instead. I don't know why.
And I should talk about this, that a week before, after the show.
Last week.
That we had, Marissa was kind and lovely enough to help with Liz Fuller throw me a surprise party at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I was very touched.
Oh, good.
It was very nice.
I'm glad you liked it.
And then when I got home, I cried because I knew I was going to be 60. That made me feel real good. But it was wonderful. I had a great time. It's over now. And I have to just look forward to 61.
Yep. And many more years.
And many more years. And definitely. Many more years.
Just so keep looking forward.
Sid, this week I had some people say, can we say the phone number and give people a bit of warning with maybe a pen, paper, or their phone? So I'm going to give the telephone number if anybody wants to ask questions to the U.S. Marines that are here tonight. So if you are listening, we would love calls, wouldn't we? Yes. So the telephone number to call us is 1-800-222-5222. Okay? 1-800-222-5222.
Excellent. Thank you for giving that out, Liz. So let's get down to business. I want to hear from these guys so badly. First of all, Tony.
Yes.
You are a staff sergeant in the Marines, and you had told me earlier that you were on location and you were in Afghanistan for how long?
A year.
And your job is to work on the tanks and the Humvees and keep them in working order so that they don't break down. And what happens when they're on maneuvers or they're on a scouting trip or whatever, and it breaks down, do you have to go to them and fix it?
Yes. So usually what happens is you'll send out a recovery team, which is like a tow truck. There's a tow truck that usually I get attached to, and then we go pick up the truck. If it's fixable, then I fix it. If it's not, then we just bring it back. We give them a replacement truck.
Well, what happens there on the spot that they need it fixed right away?
Well, they have to, their mission accomplished. So, you know, we just try our best to make sure that we don't stop them from doing what they have to do, the infantry guys.
In the early days when we were in Iraq, supposedly that the Humvees weren't plated enough for the bombs that were planted on the roads, and it you know, it hurt a lot of servicemen. Did they make the Humvees much better now?
They actually don't use Humvees out there.
They don't.
They use the MRAPs. MRAPs are mine resistant. I forget the full name of it, but it's called the MRAP. So basically, it has a V-shaped hole, meaning that like the bottom of the truck is a V. So when it hits the bottom of the truck, the blast goes out. So that's what we use now out there, and it saves a lot more lives, actually.
Wow. So the design of it is a V, and are there still a lot of, when you were out there, was there a lot of damage to vehicles, though, from that?
To vehicles, yes. They're usually rebuildable. They're easily rebuildable because of the way that they made it was to – they could take the wheels, it could like hit the wheels off, and then we could just take it back and then like re-weld things on it. It could take a few hits, and then after that, you have to like, you know, discard it.
Now, in 115 to 125 degree temperatures, the vehicles must overheat, I would think, a little bit.
Yes, that's why we have to make sure that we're doing the proper maintenance on it, like making sure that it's coming in for its annual, like all the annual inspections and stuff like that, just so it's not doing, you know, doing too much damage to it.
And you must get hot.
Yeah.
It must be hot for everybody.
That's a funny question from us guys here in California. I've got to say, it's such an honor having you two here in the radio station with us. So thank you so much. I'm not American yet. I'm British. But I am about to... Yeah.
I hadn't noticed.
Just don't call me English, okay? I'm funny about that one. I want to say, obviously, thank you for your service on behalf of, obviously, everybody listening in America. Yes. I am applying and filing this month for my American citizenship, so yeah. I really am super excited.
Yes.
And I bring that up a lot on the show, but I'm so passionate about it. I want to know, really, not everybody can be a U.S. Marine, right? This is quite an honor. You guys... What do they say? You're not chosen, you have to kind of work for it or something? That's the tagline, isn't it, to be a U.S. Marine?
Earn never given.
Never given. There you go. Tell us why you guys wanted to be U.S. Marines.
You want to go ahead and take this one?
Sure. In the beginning, as searching for where I wanted to go, I was just getting out of trade school to work on airplanes, and that's a whole another funny story, but I was graduating, and then it was at that point, all right, where do I go? And my cousin, he just came to me and said, hey, I'm going to join the Marine Corps. And I looked at him, you know, pale face, and said, what are you doing? He's like, you should come with me. So I said, okay. Went and talked to a recruiter, the recruiter for him, and basically everything that he told me aligned with what I really wanted, not just, hey, I want a job. And I wanted to travel. I got to travel. I needed a full-time job, something that'll lead to a career. And that's what it's doing for me now. And just basically set my life up for the better and get out of the situation that I was in.
Chris, how was boot camp?
Fun.
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 Really? Fun? Not difficult?
It's difficult. It is difficult, but at the end of the day...
It sucks.
Tony didn't say the same thing, huh?
The reason I say fun is because, you know, sometimes when you get put in situations where, you know, it's challenging, you know...
You look like you like a challenge then, huh?
I do. So when I got there, I kept an open mind. I didn't go fishing for stories of, hey, you know, how was boot camp? How was this? How was that? And taking everybody's, you know, opinion in. I just did them, you know, I left and went through it. I made some friends along the way, and just laughing at some of the stuff that the drill instructors, you know, would do or say, it just made it fun for me. And then I had one song stuck in my head, which was Eminem's Till I Collapse. I was like, yeah, I'm going to just play that in my head until I get home.
Well, so when any of your friends didn't make boot camp? They didn't pass?
No, all of us passed.
All of us passed. Okay.
All of us passed.
Yeah, most usually do. We do a pretty good job training them. So, like, as recruiters, we make sure we train twice a week with them. And then they do pretty good at boot camp. So if they don't make, if they make our training, it's boot camp is a little bit easier in the sense of physical training, usually.
So how long is boot camp? I said,
It's 3 months.
3 months. So you go through boot camp, and do your superiors tell you where they're placing you? Like, where are you going?
So not at boot camp, no. You already know your job beforehand.
Oh.
But you go to your job school, and then at your job school, usually halfway through, you know where you're going to go. You'll get a choice, East Coast, West Coast, overseas. I chose overseas at first. I had a girlfriend and then ex-girlfriend.
What, you trying to leave her?
Well, she was like, don't leave me.
You did?
No, well, kind of. Yeah, weird. But, yeah, so, and then I ended up choosing West Coast, and I got West Coast, so I was stationed in Pendleton. So.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So what is boot camp? What's it involved with? Obviously, I've seen U.S. Marines depicted in the Hollywood films, you know?
That's
like
a fact,
few
Jack.
Good men. Are we allowed to know what goes on in the boot camp? Yeah, is this a secret or can we know?
Not really. It's basically, we base everything around drill. Like, you know, the marching piece of it. Mm-hmm. And the
a lot
thing
of discipline,
about,
right?
Yes. It's based around the discipline. So, like, you have to be good at drill. Like, you know, you have some guys that have two left feet. They never, you know, marched in a life, and then they really have a hard time. But through the drill, they'll start learning their little attention to details and things like that. It's not really like a secret. It's just more like doing it, I guess. You know, the swim. People are like, oh, I can't swim, though. Well, they teach you how to swim. You know, they give you 2 days because the point – The point is to not make you, you know, let you fail. You know, they take it serious too, you know.
Right. So, when you guys march, can you remember like one of the songs or one of the rhythm
that you can say on the radio?
That you could, yeah.
It's more of like a.
It's not really like a song per se. It's more. It may sound crazy,
it's
but it's
crazy.
Like it's just left, rap? Right, left. But the way that you say it and the way that you. Basically the way that it comes out, it sounds like a song, but it's just to help you remember, you know, that everyone's staying together, everyone's going to turn at the same point. It's not, you know, it's not the Mickey Mouse song. Yeah.
So what we see in the movies, it's not like that, huh?
not exactly like that. It's just, you hear it sounds like a foreign language, honestly. Yeah. Like when I first got there, like you would hear the drill instructors marching like the platoon that's been there for like 3 months, and then you'd be like, what is he saying? Like, how do they know to stay in step, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're going through it, and you're just like, oh, okay. So they break it down slower, very slow. Like, you're going, like, you know, 80 beats per minute, and then, like, you're getting used to it, and they teach you how to do those, and they're just like, okay.
Were there any of you that just couldn't get that
in
rhythm and tune?
I was in the band in high school, so it was a breeze. That piece was a breeze.
Okay.
When I said boot camp was hard, it's because, like, I laughed too much. I thought things were funny, and they don't like that very much.
I'm a giggler, too, but I laugh because I'm a little nervous. Like, whenever I'm nervous, I got stuck in an elevator, and one person was crying, another was having an asthma attack, and I started laughing. So everybody reacts differently, right? I'm a giggler when something is freaking me out or I'm nervous.
And I think that's what it was. Some of it was that, and some of it just the drone structures were, like, comedians in theirs, you know.
Wow,
they don't mean to be. It's just some of this stuff is pretty funny. I don't know.
And that's what made it fun for me, like just to see, because I've never seen a one guy. He was a giggler, and a drill instructor made him smile and laugh. And so I thought it was funny because he's like two people away from me, and the drill instructor's like, "All right, laugh harder. All right, smile harder." And I'm like, "How can he smile and laugh harder? Like, I don't understand." And then next thing you know, it looks like he's, you know, a mad clown, you know, just like, ah! And I was like, whoa. All right, cool.
So Dennis?
Yes.
You have been on SEAL Team, the TV show.
Yes.
And you play a general.
General Cook.
And you're coming back as General Cook again.
What an exciting role that is.
Yeah, excited about it. It's a great set.
Now, have you guys seen
SEAL Team at all, the TV show?
I was watching the news and I heard something about it. I don't know much about it, but it seems like something
not.
Might be interesting.
I'm sorry. I have not.
No, it's all right. As long as we get paid.
Is it the Marine Navy thing? Is that the
No.
I actually don't have no problem with the other branches, honestly.
No.
So, well, what I found interesting when I did it, because I play a general in the Army, and I said, well, wait a minute, what am I, Army and Navy, what is that about? And they go, well, these guys at this level are used by all the branches. They're like this elite group, and if the Army needs them, they do something for the Army. If the Marines need them, they do something for the Marines. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Learning thing for me.
Is it true that the Marines are the first guys in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter where it is.
It could be humanitarian. It could be combat related. But usually we'll be there to initially pick up, and then the Army and everybody else will come in after that.
So you're the first guys in combat or whatever needs be.
Yes.
The Marines are there on the ground. And you guys are on the ground.
We all support what they do.
So like the infantry guys will be there. It takes about 7 Marines to support like 1 infantryman. So it's like, you know, if they need a truck, we make sure that they have the trucks that they need to accomplish whatever they do. So it's always going to be the infantry guys doing what they do, and I have to do what I have to do. There's your logisticians, you know, supply guys, just kind of just supporting what they do.
So is it true anywhere in the world a Marine always has a brother, another Marine?
Yes.
You guys always stick together.
Yes.
It's like one big family.
It is.
And on a serious note, when a Marine gets injured or killed, the Marines help the family and they, you know, take care of them as well.
Yeah, we all feel it. No matter what, you know, always losing a family member, no matter what, it hurts. But to go through some of the things that we go through around the world and even here stateside, it's painful, because it's the guy that, you know, you go to work with every day, you may go to lunch with, you know, he meets your family, you meet his family, and now it's not just about, hey, you know, I work with you, it's you're my brother, I'm gonna be there for you. So when their family feels it, we feel it also.
It's very personal. Yeah,
it is.
And from what you were telling me, Chris, as far as you were out in Southeast Asia.
Yes, so.
And you told me about, like, Korea, for instance, they have their own Marines, and they're pretty tough.
Yes.
And the women are even tougher.
Yes. It's just a difference of seeing, you know, with our military, you know, is, you know, women, you know, well, females and males, they both join, they both have a job. To go to other countries and know that, you know, there are other females out there that are doing the same job as men, you know, whether it's going out there swimming, you know, holding up rifles, all this stuff. It's just to see how much it's like taking a look at like your neighbors or something like that, where mm-hmm. you think you're, you know, your kids and your family, all right, yeah, we're good. Then you go and see the other neighbors, you know, your neighbors do it. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, that kind of just changed my mindset. Like,
so let me ask you, it gets off the topic a little bit, but when you watch movies, war movies, how realistic do you think that is? Like Full Metal Jacket, is that the way boot camp is?
No.
Where you have a crazy guy yelling and screaming at everybody?
I mean, they're yelling and screaming, but no one's getting their hands put on them, you know what I mean? It's pretty intense, but it's nothing like that. Like, the 70s and stuff like that. I'm not sure what they went through.
So, guys, when you're in boot camp, how do you overcome? And is there like counseling as well as the physical, where they're kind of finding out what your fears are and you have to work through those fears and push through? Like, is there anything where you have to vocalize what you're scared of in boot camp?
That's with your drone instructors. Your drone instructors kind of become like mommy and daddy in a sense. And they ask you before, like, say there's a confidence course that has like a 100-foot wall or something, you know, drone instructor will be like, hey, who's scared of heights? And, you know, and they'll look out for him, but they're going to make sure he accomplishes that and he'll get up that wall. Or maybe the rappel tire, they're scared of going, you know, going down backwards. They'll like train them and make sure that they could do that.
Wow. Yeah.
Would you say that you had fears going in and you've completely conquered them, or you just manage your fears?
I didn't have any real fears, no.
You did, Chris?
I couldn't swim.
Ah.
I really cannot swim.
Wow.
I was that guy that you see in the summer at the pool. I sit on the side and they get my feet in.
That was me.
So going in there and they said, you have to swim. I was like, okay, cool. You know, normal swimming, I think that'll be okay. But then getting to the point of, you know, you have to make a, you know, use your clothing as a flotation device and you have to push this gear so far. I said, I'm good. Nope.
And now?
Now, I'm good. I can do it all. I've actually leveled up just before I came to this recruiting duty. I actually leveled up in my swim class.
So, so we're going to see you doing backflips into the swimming pool.
Yeah. Double somersaults. No.
You have to learn to swim in full gear too, don't you? With boots and everything. Because I had a friend in ROTC in college, and one of the things is they had to jump in the pool fully and swim out, get out of it, you know?
Yes. It's just assimilate if you were in that situation.
Right, right.
So, Dennis, being an accomplished actor, how do you get into a part where you have to play a general? Do you do research?
To a certain extent.
What research would you do? How would you do it?
Well, I look at the character. You know, people always say, I tend to play. One of the things I always remember, I tell my students is, you don't have to like every character you play. Because some characters are full of self-loathing. So how do you like them? Because they don't like themselves. But you can never judge. Don't prejudge a character. So when I get a character like this General Cook, everybody goes, oh, he's the guy who was the advisor on the set, military guy, is going, yeah, he's a, well, I won't say what he called him, but he, you know, not a nice name, you refer to this guy. But I don't think of the characters that way. You're just the character. Once you prejudge a character and say, oh, I'm the bad guy or I'm the hero, almost by definition, you're going to give a two-dimensional performance because you're trying to fit a mold of what we think that is. Mm-hmm. So I take every character and who they are, as people, and then try to find where I connect. You know, where am I similar to this guy? Where are the similarities? And you get into it that way.
I mean, a bad guy never thinks he's a bad guy. They justify it. Like a murderer, I remember my acting teacher years ago said, if you're a murderer, you're not a bad person. You believe you're actually doing the world a favor, right? So even if you're bad, if you've got a character that's bad, you would never play it that you think you're bad.
Well, I did, you know, I was on Shameless for 4 years, and the character I played there did horrible things, but I never thought of him as a horrible guy.
Wow.
He was just a guy, you know.
So did you guys ever consider acting?
Yes.
Did you?
I wanted to.
No, I didn't. I don't know. I went did a class talk, and then there was an actor in there talking about it, and I started talking to him about it. I would like to see if I could do it. I don't know.
Yeah, cool.
I think more actors would want to become U.S. Marines, though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Right. Where did you guys grow up? Tell us a little bit where you're from.
I'm from Victorville, California. Right, like 2 hours away.
That's something right there.
Middle of the desert.
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
I kind of laugh because every time I say where I'm from or something happens around the office, he reminds me. He's like, yeah, he's from Detroit.
I always do that.
Detroit's quite tough, isn't it? Isn't that where all the car factories were? I hope they're still there and not in China. Just saying.
they're having resurgence. The town, the city of Detroit.
Yes, it's a lot of individuals that are investing back into Detroit, building up the surrounding areas.
That's great.
They basically started with the core of downtown and working their way out.
So, Chris, you said you wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, I just always had been intrigued by it and just seeing like different people around me wanting to get into the acting things. I'm like,
you're very well respected in this town. I've got to say, with the breakdowns, right, Sid, sometimes casting directors really want to see people that are veterans, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes. The real
you definitely
thing.
Held
directors
in high regard.
Love the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, so as far as your career in the Marines, Tony, you had said that you want to get into officers training and become an officer.
I'd like to go that route.
Because you've had 10 years.
Oh, I've never seen the girl move so fast.
I just want to let everyone know I didn't say it.
She got it.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Nobody at home heard that. The lady pressed beep in time.
You're 60. It's okay.
It's all right, yeah. I've been in
Chris.
For eight and a half years. I want to see how far I can take this thing.
Do you know that there's a forum and a website of questions you're going to get asked in the U.S. Marines interview?
Really?
Yeah, there's a forum. I was seeing it online. Wow. What questions were you asked? And you're part of the recruiting team now, is that right? Okay, so what are you asking and how are you finding the next generation of U.S. Marines?
Well, you want to make sure that they're in it for the right reasons. You know, if you want to go to college, you probably would choose another branch or something like that. But if you want to, you know, be a part of the brotherhood and things like that, you kind of gear it to around that. You know what I mean? So you just want to, you know, if they like being a part of a team, or say they're on the football team or something like that, and that's something that's important to them to be a part of a team, then, you know, they're probably, you know, looking in the right place if they choose the Marines.
So do you think that there's some people that, I mean, I guess it's a young age, right? You're looking at 18-year-olds.
I joined at 17, yeah.
17.
Wow.
I mean, at 17, do people always know what they want to do, you know? Do you find some people coming in saying they definitely want to be a U.S. Marine and then other people just finding out more?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of like that, you know? You have guys that want their whole life they want to be a Marine, you know? And then you have the other ones that are like, you know, it's a thought in their head, but they don't know if it's really what they want. And then,
well, a lot of parents push their children, you know, when they become sick because they've been a little in trouble a little bit, or, you know, they haven't been exactly, you know, superb students to get in the Marines, so they won't be in trouble for the rest of their life and they'll get discipline.
Most of those kids don't listen to their parents, though.
Oh.
Yeah, they usually just, they don't. They usually, like, try to avoid us at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got one of the interview questions. Uh-oh. Here is a rope, a barrel, a toothpick, and 4-foot piece of plywood, and 3 other officer candidates. You have 5 minutes to develop a plan, brief it to your team, and cross this river without touching the water. Don't forget to factor in front and rear security. Go. That's one of the questions. Did you guys get anything like that?
That's the,
Say what?
What is it? What are we doing? That's kind of like,
I think the toothpick is there to kind of throw us.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, that's like later on. During the Crucible?
Yeah, it's like
trying to get over obstacles. What it is they're trying to see
how
you can think under, if you can handle pressure, you can think on your feet, come up with a well-developed plan, and then execute it, but also remembering the fundamentals of making sure that you're watching out for around you, everyone is safe, but also transporting what you need across the
adapt.
Well, I have a bit of a secret. Yeah. I did training at the Welsh Royal Fusiliers.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I had to crawl through tunnels of water and mud, and I only had that much breathing area like that to get through. My. And you wouldn't know it when you look at me.
Wow!
I know. Go to the break, Sue.
We have to go to the break, and I have to watch my mouth. All right. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned. Sid Levine, Sid Levine Show, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump is shedding light on how he uses Twitter. Before leaving Switzerland, the president sat down with Piers Morgan on Britain's ITV News and explained whether he writes all of his tweets.
Are you actually lying in bed with your phone, working out how to wind everybody up?
Well, perhaps sometimes in bed, and perhaps sometimes at breakfast or lunch or whatever. But generally speaking, during the early morning or during the evening, I can do that. But if I'm, you know, very busy during the day, I'm very long hours and busy. And I'll sometimes just dictate out something really quickly, and they'll give it to one of my people to put it on.
Morgan asked Trump about his stance on feminism just days after thousands of marchers gathered in cities across the country to mark the one-year anniversary of the Women's March on Washington. The president's answer, you're always going to have marches. KABC SoCal weather tonight, mostly clear and breezy with lows in the mid-50s to mid-60s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses?
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out. Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6000 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 6000. Avant.com, code 6000.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-619-0789. That's 800-619-0789. 800-619-0789. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Race fans, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series kicks off with the Lucas Oil NHRA Winter Nationals February 8th through 11th at Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. 95.5 KLOS along with Frank Kramer have an exclusive opportunity for you. A VIP pit crew experience with Ron Capps, driver of the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger Funny Car, including race tickets, hospitality passes, photo op, meet and greet, and a tour of the pit area with Frank Kramer. Go to 95.5KLOS.com now to register. And for race info, go to NHRA.com. Ignite your senses.
You've got skills, so why not make money with those skills? Can you mow a yard, clean a house, hang a flat screen TV, haul off some junk? Well, check out Tackle.com. That's T-A-K-L.com. Tackle is an amazing new app that connects people who can perform small jobs and chores with customers who need them done. And the Tackle app is coming to cities all across America soon. Go to Tackle.com to see where Tackle is launching next. Just complete the 6 easy steps to register, and you can be your own boss, set your own hours, and make great money as a Tackle provider. The Tackle app is revolutionizing the way people get things done. Go to Tackle.com today and sign up. Stop thinking about making money doing what you love, and start doing it with Tackle. Sign up to be a Tackle provider now at Tackle.com. Tackle.com. That's TAKL.com.
Why should you be excited to serve on a jury? Was the large settlement for the McDonald's hot coffee case ridiculous? And do large settlements really raise your insurance rates? Those are the subjects this weekend on Champions of Justice. Tom Girardi talks with two presidents of the American Board of Trial Advocates. Tune in Champions of Justice, Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday night at 10, here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. And Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/view for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/view. That's match.com/view. Match.com/view.
O'Reilly. Now through January 30, if you could win one of more than 17,000 prizes in the O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card giveaway powered by Valvoline. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, pick up a game card, and follow the entry instructions to see if you're one of 500 lucky gift card winners each day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillySweeps.com for official rules and details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's FUN to 85850.
Talk radio, talk radio, talk radio.
790 KABC.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll tell you which mogul got accused of sexual harassment over the weekend.
Plus, I'm not a big fan of romance novels, but I might read this one. You know, the suave and decadent and super sexy Saddam Hussein. He wrote one, and it's available on Amazon.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Savant, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It was 50 Shades.
It's Sid Levine, and it's the Sid Levine Show, second half of the show. What an honor again it is to have Tony Adams III, Staff Sergeant, United States Marines. And then we have Chris Sampson, Sergeant, United States Marines. And we have Dennis Cockrum, actor.
Did you say Adams?
United States actor. Then we have Liz Fuller, who's soon to be a United States citizen. Excellent. So let me ask you guys, the Marines are looking for a few good men, all right? And we've got a few good men right here. And we were talking a little bit about the old days. I remember going to junior high school and high school where we had the draft. And guys would actually, in physical education class, they would lag behind or they'd cut the class to make themselves look like they just physically couldn't do it. So it would help them with the draft. And it was quite a thing in those days that a lot of guys didn't want to go into it and a lot of guys did go into it. And it was the United States. It was a war, I think, that the United States got into, and it was kind of a difficult situation with the citizens of the United States. Some of them didn't like the war. Now, you are United States Marines, and if there's a war and you're sent, you go. Now, you were in Afghanistan, Tony, and when you were sent there, you do work on the vehicles. So I suspect that you weren't obviously front line or search, you know, different things that you guys would have to do that are quite dangerous, so to speak. Were there any situations where you yourself were in any danger in Afghanistan?
No, I've been on plenty of convoys. I've probably been on, you know, 30 to 40 convoys, and I never had any real issues. We've had a couple people we pulled over for suspicion or anything like that, but it was never.
Did you ever discharge your rifle or your pistol?
Never. No.
Did you wear one?
Well, I always wore one, yes.
Okay. And Chris, what about you? You were in the South Pacific. You were in different countries there. And you had mentioned that in Korea there were a couple of times where there was some blackouts that...
Yeah, it was just... it was nothing too bad. It was just precaution for certain things. Just making sure, like a lot of routine stuff to make sure everything worked, or if they're doing certain transmissions, they would just, you know, clear everything out so that way certain things can happen.
What about the language barrier? If you're in Afghanistan or if you're in the South Pacific and you're working with Koreans or the Japanese or whatever, how do you communicate?
Well, we usually get classes before we go out there, and then we get a little booklet, and then we're really encouraged to, like, learn a lot of the basic stuff so we know, you know, how to communicate proper, you know, the culture and stuff like that, how to, like, say no properly and just things like that. But, yeah,
usually an interpreter.
Interpreter, too, yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, that person came in handy. Especially when you're hungry, you're like.
and the cultural barriers or whatever, I mean, how does everybody treat everybody if you're working with other countries, Marines or people from other countries? Is it just still one big strong unit or do they ask you a lot of questions about America and vice versa?
It wasn't too much of like how the countries are or, you know, anything too crazy. It's just it's kind of like getting to know someone that you just met, you know. You want to ask about them, you know, they ask, you know, how's family, you know, do you miss your family, stuff like that. Same as what made you join, you know, and then just basically trying to become friends, you know, for the most part, just getting to know someone. When it came to differences, we try to understand each other's differences and, you know, relate to them.
So let me ask you, Dennis, when you did SEAL Team, the first episode, technical advisors, were there any technical advisors on the set? Did they talk to you at all? Ex-generals or?
Sure, there was a tech guy there who was a military guy. The costumer had spent a lot of years in the military who costumes that show. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys making sure everything was right and the right protocol and all of that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask the guys about your uniform. I mean, one thing that stands out when you guys walked in today is how immaculate you're dressed, and that's part of the discipline, isn't it? I mean, everything from the line of your clothes, everything just looks so incredibly impressive. Right. Like, how many uniforms do the U.S. Marines have?
I don't even know the number, but there's a lot. There's definitely for seasonal. Like, this is the seasonal uniform, so since it's this part of the daylight saving times, we wear the long sleeve. When in March, when we change over again, we'll be in the short sleeve, wear the white shirts under it. And all that stuff.
When do you wear the Navy jacket? Because that's – and the white hat. What do you call that uniform?
That's the dress uniform.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
So you –
When do I get to see that? When can you come in and visit us with that again?
we used to wear it all the time. You know, we're doing class talks or we're doing events. And
well, whenever
like
you need like somebody else to come and help you stand in that class talk, I can help the recruitment process in any way, I'll be there.
There you go.
Have you guys ever been to a ceremony where people become citizens of the United States?
I haven't.
I have not.
I've been to one. When my wife became a citizen from England as well. It is something else. Everybody should be required to go. If you're talking about being patriotic to this country, there's about 10,000 people that get in sworn in. And there's about 10,000 people, their family and friends watching them. And everybody's crying. Everybody's moved.
Because it's a big journey for everybody to become, to actually come to America. You can't just walk into America and become an American citizen. You know, it takes like 10 years, really. For me, it did.
Right.
Or is taking.
Well, some people, is it shorter way they do it? But, you know, but that's true that people stand up and they're crying because of everything they've been through in their life to become an American citizen.
And how much it means.
Yes, and it's very moving, and I think everybody should be required to do that. So my congratulations, Liz.
It hasn't happened yet.
I've got
a lot to learn, though, right?
Oh, don't worry
about
that.
The Constitution, the presidents.
I don't think 90% of the American citizens could pass the test.
I think I'll know a lot more than some people that are five-generation
American.
What's
the 14
right?
original colonies?
Huh? They're on the East Coast. I know that much, right?
Yeah.
They used to be British.
I remember one or two of them. My wife, Patricia, we went through everything 1,000 times. I think they asked her 2 questions and said, that's all right, you know everything. But she told me they had a file on everybody on her. They have tons of documents of people that they know everything about you.
Oh, good.
It's amazing.
Good. I'll keep them busy.
So Lou Gossett won the Oscar. But that was in the Navy for being a platoon sergeant and an officer and a gentleman. And he yelled and screamed and went crazy, but he got everybody to do what they had to do. So when you, again, do you guys know any sergeants or any people in the Marines that yell and scream and get the people to do things? Have you been in Afghanistan? Did you have any superiors that were like that or?
No, that's mostly boot camp. I do have some that are like, not now, but like I've had the leaders that were more firm like that. But you have people like me that, you know, I kind of do both, you know, when I have to. So say someone learns better from getting yelled at.
So you have to yell at them.
I'd like to yell at that person.
You know what I'm saying? But like at the same time, you have a guy, it takes him a little bit longer, or you just need to walk him through it, show him how to do it the right way. And then he's just like, hey, Soren. And, you know, he's happy that he did it the right way, you know. So you kind of have to know the person.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're working on a vehicle and somebody's not doing a good
job, putting the tire on backwards, or
I have a question for you too. You're both married, aren't you?
Yes.
So,
yes.
When you've been away, how long? What period of time are you away for? And how do you manage to keep a successful relationship?
Well, so basically, I was on a year deployment. Marines don't usually deploy for a year. It just, the type of unit I was in was more of a higher headquarters, like overlooking the operations out there. So I deployed for a year, but, FaceTime, you know, we could FaceTime like every day, you know, the time difference is like really big, but you know, as long as, you know, you make time to FaceTime and, you know, things like that. So
when you say FaceTime, you mean Skype?
Skype or you can use FaceTime.
Sick, you don't have FaceTime yet?
I don't know anything about that.
It's like Skype, but on the iPhone.
It's on your phone.
Yeah, you just sit there and go like this.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that we can do that to begin with.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Remember, I still can't believe it.
Chris?
But yeah, for me, my relationship with my wife actually started while we were overseas because my wife's Navy.
Oh.
And it was her last time being on ship, and it was my first time being on ship, and we just kind of got, you know, cool with each other, getting to know each other. And then when she got off ship, she came back here to California, and I was still stationed in Japan for about another, I would say about a year and a half.
Wow.
And we continued to talk whenever I could have time because I was always, you know, going on and out. And finally got back here and continued to, you know, continue the relationship once I got stationed out here. And yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I can't hold a relationship if he lives outside of L.A. for a week and a half. So my hat is off to both of you.
No, there's no problem with the Marine Navy thing going on.
Oh, yeah. She's actually higher ranking than me.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I don't like.
She pulls rank on you.
She has a couple times, but.
Wow.
So is my wife, but I'm not in the service.
Except on TV.
So, Camp Pendleton, can you live on the base, like in your family?
On base or off base.
Yes.
And you can use the, what are the commissary? Not the commissary.
The commissary.
Yeah.
Is this down in San Diego? Yes. Is that where it is?
North County.
Got it.
Yeah, near San Clemente or whatever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. So, just out of curiosity here, do you get a break, of course, on everything, right? On food, and it's more discounted, or am I wrong? Or?
No, there's, you know, you don't have to pay taxes on base.
Oh, really?
The gas is discounted. You know,
what would be a gallon of gas?
So right now I think it's what, like $3.35. On the Air Force base right here, it's $2.89.
Well, that's pretty good.
I mean, I agree with all of that.
Yeah,
I think you guys shouldn't pay taxes.
And so your family can live. So on like in a home on the base. So mm-hmm.
Yes, we actually did that,
and you save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, I mean, when I was newly married, all my leaders told me to live on base, so that's what I did. I moved to Hawaii, and I decided to live off base, and I actually made more money that way.
Really?
So,
Wow.
Hawaii must have been a great place to live.
It was amazing. Chris, I wish I'd go back right now.
Chris, you
which
lived
island?
On, you lived
Oahu?
On Oahu.
Nice.
You lived on the base, right, Chris?
Yes. When we first got married, we were actually having our daughter at the same time, and we ended up moving on base. It was a nice home, 3-bedroom.
Really?
2-car garage. I liked it.
So there's a lot of benefits to do that, to doing that.
Yes.
For the Marines. Well, for all service, I guess.
Yes,
all of them
it's all
pretty
services. Because it just takes out the hassle of, you know, if you got a timeline to meet, you can just let your higher-ups know. And then they will help walk you through the steps on actually getting the house on base. And it's a real simple move-in. So
that's great. That is fantastic.
It was fun.
I know this is like a kind of a childish question to ask or whatever, but have you ever been in a submarine?
All right.
Never.
I have literally walked on a submarine once and it freaked me out. I would never do it again.
Do you know, I went to Pearl Harbor. So, you know, growing up in Wales, for me, I always wanted to go to Hawaii, right? And I don't, I wanted to go to the most tourist island. I wanted to do Pearl Harbor. I wanted to do Honolulu Beach, right? Waikiki. So for me, I went to Pearl Harbor and I actually cried. For me, it was like one of the most important places I've ever been. Mm. And you can actually go on the submarines there. You can go down. And for me, that was, I think everybody should go there. I think it's so moving. It's so important. Yeah.
When you said you never go back on a submarine, is it because of the close quarters and your claustrophobia?
I'm pretty much used to like the whole, like.
Could I fit in it?
No, you have to duck. It's like,
that would make me mad.
It's to me, it was just the fact you got to go down. And then once you get down, you got to, like, maneuver your body some ways just to, like, get around stuff. It just seemed like it was compact. It really wasn't being compact. It was just the fact knowing that I'm in a compact, you know, bubble, essentially.
It's tight down there.
And I'm about to...
And you can't make a noise, right? You can't even hit the side or anything because something like that, the vibration can be picked up. Is that right?
Well, it's so big. You can, like, the way they made it, you can literally sit there and go like that, and it's not going to...
Not like the movies, huh?
No, but...
Yeah. Don't say anything.
No, it's
are
not
there height
like
requirements? Because there used to be height requirements.
I think it is, but...
For a certain height, you wouldn't...
I'm sure I wouldn't qualify for that job.
Yeah, I'm short, so
I think
I'm
that's
okay.
A very difficult job. That's a very difficult job. I mean, you could say you're okay, and after a month, you may just go, I got to get off here, and you can't get off, right? You're going to have to be tranquilized or something, or something, right?
They throw you off. But I think it's part of the training. Yes. They put you through that kind of isolation.
Yeah,
right?
It's just...
I'm sure.
You got to want it. That's the main thing. You have to want it.
Right. So, another silly question. While you're going through boot camp, or while you're going through everything that you have to go through, if you're ever captured by the enemy, do they tell you what to do? In training.
You just... you don't be a snitch, I guess.
We in the mob?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, they're going to try to, they think you know things, but I work on trucks mainly, you know, I'm not the intel guy, you know, but like at the same time, like, you just know not to say anything.
Do they discuss that in training?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't.
Do you guys watch any I watch the TV show The Brave. Does anybody watch that one?
Well.
No? Okay. On my own then.
I've been binge watching this one TV show for like, forever. Burn Notice. I think I watched it like 15 times already.
Okay.
So.
What's that one about?
A spy who got burned, and then he like helping out small people around Miami.
Burn Notice. Okay, I'm going to watch that one.
It's pretty cool.
So the situation, you know, the public, what we hear today in the press or whatever, waterboarding and all that, so on and so forth. In training, do you ever go through any of that stuff?
What do you mean?
Waterboarding, you know, what it's like.
No.
What's waterboarding?
We don't really do that to our own guys, Sid.
No. They do.
What is that?
It really is frowned upon for anybody.
They do that. They do that to
when you just
what it's like.
So that's like a specialty training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simulated drowning. Oh, yeah. You'd be tough, Sid. If you were in charge, you'd be doing that, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
I probably would, actually. I put people through very difficult situations.
That's what I heard, though, is when you're in the military that they want you to know what it's like.
That's the SEER training.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, like, you know, usually special forces go through, stuff like that.
I bet that's what Chris felt like when he was learning to swim.
I guess, yeah.
How fast did you pick up swimming? Could you do it in, like, the 1 or 2 days?
Oh, I did what I had to do to pass. after that, I made it a point that I know this is a requirement for me to know how to swim. So I'm going to do everything I can so that way I can get, you know, to that point where I'm comfortable. But also now I got to push myself past it so that way if there's other people behind me that don't know, I can, like, let them know, like, hey, you'll get through it. You know, this is how I did it.
If you're an iron duck. This is how you get through it.
Yeah, that's what they call you in boot camp, an iron duck.
An iron duck.
Iron duck.
I couldn't float.
I can't either.
I can't float.
I cannot float.
I can
like
float.
Now I can. I can tread water because I, you know, I practice yeah. and I learned. But before, as soon as I get in the water, I'm
an iron duck.
So. Yeah, it's amazing. I can float. You just see my stomach. Listen, we only have 1 minute to go. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. This has been a really, really great show. Tony, thank you so much. And good luck in the Marines. And we hope to have you back on the show.
I appreciate you.
You're a great guy. And Chris, that I called you Tony. thanks so much for coming.
No problem.
I am so proud to have you guys on the show because you guys keep all of us safe. And there's no words that can describe how grateful we should all be that you sacrificed that for us. And Dennis, thank you so much for coming by.
Sure.
And everybody, SEAL Team, when should they watch it?
Boy, you would ask that.
Okay.
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. Watch Dennis Cockrum as General Cook on SEAL Team.
Not on this Wednesday. I'm shooting another one.
Yes, but you're going to be on a couple of weeks. Okay.
Go with that. Just
and
go
Liz,
with it, Dennis.
thank you so much, Liz. I'll
what
see you next
night.
Week.
I love seeing these guys. Thank
Don't
you so much
great?
For coming in.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time, next week. Sid Levine. Hey,
happy
to
week.
Everybody in the Middle East that loves us. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you then. Have a great night. Sid Levine, The Sid Levine Show. Bye.
This show furnished by Sid Levine.